welcome everyone to Citizens Climate University tonight. Tonight's topic is going to be getting creative with your group's social media and websites. And our learning goals for tonight are fourfold. After tonight's lesson, hopefully you'll be able as an attendee to jump into building your own chapter's Facebook page and boosting the following. You can also learn how to set up for and host as well as promote a Facebook Live event with your own group. We'll also highlight how to begin personalizing your own chapter's website with CCL's tools and beyond. And then we'll also interact with leading volunteers, obviously throughout this whole webinar in real time with your design questions as participants. So the formats can be pretty straightforward. We'll jump in first to Brianna highlighting the running a Facebook Live campaign topic. And then we'll go with Nathan's highlighting how to build out your own chapter's website and design. And John will close us out with having more of a discussion on online tools to enhance your group's organization through Google Clouds. With Claire highlighting how to generate followers on Facebook and actually walking us through their Utah's chapter. But without further ado, I will get into introducing our first topic for the evening.
All right, so I'm going to chat with you guys how to do a Facebook Live event and how to make it an integrated campaign. Next slide. As Brett mentioned, my name is Brianna Cook, and I'm the CCL DFW social media lead, so I'm managing all our social accounts for all the Dallas area chapters. I think there's about 7 chapters. We just added another one. And then I'm also a co-lead on the Third Coast regional social accounts, so the Facebook and Twitter and Instagram accounts that are associated with our region of Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And then I'm also a freelance graphic designer and artist, as evidenced by all the stuff in the background of my video here. So I'm gonna, hopefully after this, you guys will know what the right tools and apps are for doing Facebook Live, how to start the Facebook Live video, and how to promote it before, during, and after the event. So what you'll need, you will need a smartphone or tablet, and it has to have Wi-Fi or a strong 4G connection. And then if you're doing a long video, say of a speaker for maybe an hour, I highly recommend getting a little tripod. You can see the one in the photo there that I have. It's just a small tripod with little flexible arms, and it has sort of a brace that's specifically meant for iPhone or for smartphones, and it expands so it actually fits a bunch of different sizes. I think I got it on Amazon for maybe about $10. So it was definitely worth it because then you just can set it and let the video run. And then you also need the Facebook Pages app. So Claire was actually kind of touching on this before. To use Facebook Live as your local or regional page, you need the Facebook Pages app, not just the regular one. You can see the photo of how that icon looks different from the other Facebook apps. So to get that live video started, we're going to go through some of the steps of how to do it. So you'll open the Facebook Pages app and you'll click that live button that's there. And you might need to allow access to your camera or microphone, just depends on what settings you have already done on your phone. But keep in mind that button will actually be grayed out if your connection is not strong enough to do a live video. So be prepared for that to happen. So once you've pressed that live button, I recommend rotating your device horizontally to start with. And then you're going to add a description, and that's going to sort of show up as a caption and above your video in the post. So make it relevant, you know, add some details, tag people who are in the video or tag pages. You can even tag the location or tag the event that you're at. And if you want to take it a step further, if you're going to be talking to your audience, you can ask them, you know, where they're watching from. So you can say hello to people in different parts of the world. And then once you've entered in all that info, you're gonna press record and you'll see it start up and then you'll be live. So you'll see there's a little red live icon, and you can even see the number of people that are watching, who's watching. And then when people comment, you'll start seeing those comments coming in. Then when you're done, you'll see there's a finish button down in the lower right. So you'll press that, and it's going to ask you if you want to keep or delete your video. So I highly recommend keeping it, because then that will save it to your timeline and save it to your Facebook videos. If it turns out you don't want it there later, you can delete it, but you need to keep it first in order to be able to make future decisions. And then you can also go in and edit your caption. So if you weren't happy with some of the wording of that caption, or if you want to make it more robust, tag more people in it, you can go back in and edit what you wrote above the video. All right, so now I'm going to go over some best practices, things that I learned from doing live video at the Third Coast Conference. One word of warning, I do, and I mentioned it before, I recommend turning your phone horizontally before you start Facebook Live. If you start Facebook Live with your phone vertically, start filming and rotate it later, your video is going to post sideways and people will have to watch it like this because it won't automatically turn your video. So start horizontally and you'll be golden. So I recommend doing a teaser video. And so at the Third Coast Conference, I had Brett just do a quick welcome. He stood up at the front of the room where I was planning to be filming anyway. So my secret purpose for this video was to just test the connection, make sure everything was working okay. We did it about an hour before the event started. So he welcomed everyone, told them when to join us back on Facebook Live for the main sessions. And the bonus part of that, if anyone is a follower of your Facebook page, they'll get notified in the app that you are live. So they'll be more likely to jump over to it. Another thing you can do, and this one is somewhat optional, after the video starts for your long session, you could ask a volunteer to leave the room and just double check that the connection looks okay, you know, make sure they have a smartphone, and just use the regular Facebook app as their personal profile. Go to the page and see the live video and just make sure it's displaying okay, make sure the audio is okay. And then they can come back in, give you the thumbs up, just to make sure it's all looking good. Another thing I did was I made a little sign that said Facebook Live video in progress. And I had it sitting there next to me, next to my tripod. So that if someone came up to me and I thought they might start talking, I could point to the sign. So then their questions weren't inadvertently caught in the audio of the video. I also highly recommend bringing a battery backup if you plan to be sharing multiple long sessions. That way you can keep your phone plugged in and not worry about looking for an outlet. And also make sure you avoid any copyright issues, particularly having music in the background. I wouldn't have any more than 30 seconds of music. Facebook will catch stuff like that and can remove your video, unfortunately, if you have copyrighted music or a movie in the back, too much of it in the background. So you can find even more live tips at these links here. You'll see some of the same practices and things that I followed. These are some of the articles that I was also looking at before our event. So check them out. They've got a lot of good recommendations for how to do really good live events. And you also want to make sure you promote your video. So let's go over a few steps of what to do before, during, and after. So before the Third Coast event, we, in an email out to everyone in the region, we told everyone we were doing Facebook Live, and we explained how to not only like the Facebook page, but also to follow the page. And like I mentioned before, that people who are followers that will get notified when you are on Facebook Live. And so that's a great tool to have even more people know the video is starting. So then during the event, I made sure to post on our other platforms to let people know that we were over on Facebook Live. So both on Twitter and Instagram, I used a photo to enhance the post. And then I also made sure to post the link to our Facebook page so they could easily just jump over there and start watching the live video. You can also include the time if you're not currently live, but you want to promote it. Make sure you include the time zone too. And then in between the Facebook Live sessions, I made another Facebook post to tell people when they should come back for more live video That's also something you could add to your caption after you've finished a session. You could go back, edit the caption, and say, hey, we'll be back live in 2 hours at 1 p.m. or something like that. So then after the event, you'll want to also remind people that they can go back and watch those videos. And that's the great thing about keeping the live videos as a resource for people to go back to. So in the email that where we thanked all the attendees, we made sure to put the link to our Facebook page again and remind people to share those live videos.
And first up on that side, we're actually going to have a chance to learn from none other than the wonderful Nathan Gray. And I'll let you take it from here, Nathan.
Great, thank you. Wonderful. Well, my name is Nathan Gray, and I'm a web developer living in Portland, Oregon. I've been building websites now for about 4 years. And prior to that, I was a manager at a nonprofit working on public health. So this has been a big change for me, a mid-career change. And the good news from that is that if you're in any way hesitant or uncomfortable with jumping into some of these things, believe me, you can do it. Because if I can learn how to code at age 50, you can do anything. So we're going to go ahead and walk through the website that I built. This website is built with something called WordPress, and in particular an implementation of WordPress that's found on wordpress.org. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But first of all, we're just going to take a look at this. And Brett, if you want to just scroll down so people can get a look. You'll see some content here that we've pulled mainly from the national site. And then you'll see pictures that localize the site to our chapter. Hopefully the folks who are in the chapter, they'll come out here and take a look and they'll feel like, hey, that's something that's relevant to me. The pictures that don't include people are places like Crater Lake here in Southern Oregon and Mount Hood at the top of the page. And then if you just hover over some of the menu items at the top, Brett, we'll take a look at some of the other content that's in here. We're not going to click through to any of these things, but I just want you to see some of the stuff that we've included. We have information about our chapter and our local leaders. You can go right to the national organization. And then we tried to create a lot of connectivity between the local site and the national site so that folks who came out here, if they got here and didn't know about the national organization, they'd be able to find their way there and get more information. Here's some events. You can find our monthly meeting agendas and the notes that come out from those meetings. Under media, we've got newsletters on the letters to the editor that we've published, as well as op-eds. And then under action teams, these are the various teams that we've got in our local chapter. And you can click on one of these and you'll see information that are relevant to each of those teams. So anyway, that's kind of a quick overview of some of the things that we've got. So now if we continue on, so here's how I'm going to organize the rest of what I have to say today. We're going to talk about why you might need a site, what it's going to take to manage your site, to both create it and make sure it stays active and successful over time. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about at least one tool that you can use to create your site. And Brett's also going to mention some of the existing resources available through the national organization. So let's talk a little bit about why create a site. And so one of the reasons that we wanted to do this, and it continues to be something that we've set as a priority, is recruitment. That's a great idea. I would just caution people that you're going to have more success recruiting people through your local website if you actually drive people to that website rather than counting on them just showing up there. That is, if you're doing a tabling event and you are passing out literature or something that will help people learn more about your local chapter, pass them that website URL so that they can check it out later on when they're back at home and learn more about what's going on. If you just put your site out there on the web and hope that people will show up, you might have some success with that. I'm a little dubious about it. Brett's a little more hopeful. He'll talk about that in a moment. But you'll have the most success if you have it out there on the web and you also are encouraging people to use it. Another reason to have a website is for group communications. That also is a useful resource. A website can be a useful resource for that. The one thing I would say about that is that you probably don't want to assume that people are going to go to your website and find out what's going on in the chapter. You want to push information to your members through email or text or something like that. And then if there's additional information that they need to look at, link them back to the website so that they get something that comes to them before they're expected to go out and take a look. The third reason for having a website is records. And actually, I think this is the most useful reason. In many cases, your chapter may have records that are spread out in various places. Maybe you put some on Google Drive. Maybe you have some things in Dropbox. Maybe you have a website that you're using as well. When you have resources in multiple places, then everyone's got to remember those multiple areas that they've got to check out to get the information. So being able to centralize your information in one place, I think, is perhaps the most useful reason for having a website. At least that's been the case for us. Now people just have to remember one URL, and they can come out and get access to the resources that are there or be linked through this site to other online resources. Finally, I just want to touch on the point that, you know, it's 2018, and I think people assume that if you're going to do anything these days, you ought to just start with a website. I don't know that that's really the case. There are a lot of tools out there that can help you accomplish your ends, depending on what they are, that are already built and that don't require you to put a lot of time and effort into it. So this is not to discourage you from creating a local site, if that's what you want to do. But just bear in mind that there are pluses and minuses of having something out there. And when we go on to the next slides, we'll talk a little bit more about that. So what's it going to take to build this site? You're going to need someone who has some web savvy. That is, they need to use the web enough to be familiar with sort of common protocols and ways that people use the web and use websites. That, you know, if you click in the upper left-hand corner on a home button, you're probably going to be taken to the home page. And that if you're on a mobile device and you see three thick lines, it's a hamburger menu. Actually, everyone hates that icon, but you click on it and it'll open up and give you other options. So you need someone who just has that common sense familiarity with how the web works and how websites are commonly organized. You need someone who can focus on detail. That's both to organize the content from sort of a user experience or a front end approach, but it's also going to have a lot to do with the tool that you wind up using. Even tools that are user friendly can wind up having a lot of configuration options that it just can get tricky over time. And finally, you're going to need someone with some amount of technical skills. They don't have to be, for many of the tools that you'll want to consider using, they don't have to be real robust technical skills, but you want someone who knows how to, open up different browsers, navigate to a web page, and find their way around. So those are things that it's going to take to build it. Now, you're going to need a lot of those qualities to maintain the site as well. But most importantly, with maintenance, you're going to need someone who is going to be available to update content, to fix things when they break, and to help users understand how the site works. That can be a significant amount of time. And finally, I think you need a strategy, and this should probably be the first item on this page here. Because that strategy is really going to make this website worthwhile. You need, for example, that strategy for recruitment. If you want to use the website to recruit folks, then you need to have some sort of plan to drive folks to the site. If you're going to use the site for communications, you have to be sure that your members are going to get those communications. That is, that they receive some sort of notification that tells them to go and look at this document or this information, this plan, whatever it is that's been put out on the website. So you want to make sure that if you're going to devote time and effort into creating this site, it just doesn't, you know, sit there and that it's forgotten over time.
And I'll just quickly jump in here just to highlight exactly what you've been saying, Nathan, and that, you know, a lot of chapters, given the limited bandwidth they have, are looking for a quick fix or a way to really kind of have an element of their own local flavor while still being able to not need somebody that is, you know, in depth and invested on a daily basis. And that's why this actual kind of web page editor tool that each of our chapters is offered is, I think, a really wonderful mix. We're featuring Nathan and eventually John tonight just because they're doing wonderful work that's that next step beyond. And we wanted to give some resources and vision if folks are interested in taking that on and they do feel they have the resources. But if you're listening in or if you kind of would like to get going without having to do all of the initial investment, I'd recommend going to community under the group leaders lessons. And then there's a tutorial on how to edit your website. And then when you're in there, you can see the video is only about 7 minutes long. And from there, you can also walk through and actually see kind of the areas that we actually offer personalization for individual chapters. So you can tailor your actual about this chapter message, the cities it covers, the taglines for your URLs to Twitter pages and everything else connected to even kind of having an image upload. So it's a real skeleton of a version, but it's a wonderful way, especially for you to get your feet wet and kind of emphasize a lot of the areas that Nathan has mentioned without having to commit to updating a website, you know, as in-depth as we're learning here from both Nathan and then from John. I'll pass it back to you, Nathan.
Great. So WordPress is the tool that I have used to build our website. I actually used a version of WordPress that is available on WordPress.org. It's a little harder to use that one, so I'm recommending if you're starting out that you use something like WordPress.com. There are other tools out there as well, like Wix and Weebly, that are sort of user-friendly services that allow you to create local websites. So the strengths of WordPress are it's pretty user-friendly, it's fairly configurable, it's attractive. Someone had mentioned, and I'll talk more about themes, that allows you to pick themes that can make your site look nice. And they start off with a free plan. But there's also some weaknesses to WordPress. The deeper you dig into it, the harder it gets. There are a lot of configuration options. You can get quite confused until you get oriented in it. Themes, which can make your site look really nice, also limit what you can do. And there are some other sites that allow more drop and drag options that let you configure things a little bit differently. And eventually, there are some modest costs to using WordPress.
One of the other things that we also really want to emphasize with any local chapter is just search engine optimizing. So helping your group's window come up earlier in, for example, a Google search query. And I think the main takeaway for this slide is just highlighting that local matters a lot in that algorithm process. So making sure to personalize your content with local information, you know, highlighting keywords, locations, names, places, and really being able to kind of think strategically about, you know, what are folks in your community actually going to be typing into that search for their keywords and having those pop up in your own website's description too. And if you want to talk about making first impressions count, I think the design, the layout that, you know, clearly Nathan has shown is really a wonderful example of helping sell your chapter's efforts with individual photos and all the other wonderful ways that they really kind of have an elegant layout. I'll pass it back to you, Nathan.
Great. Like I said, I'm not going to teach you how to use WordPress.com, but you can access these slides later, and there's some links here that will take you out to the WordPress documentation, and they do a really nice job of walking you through both sort of written instructions and also video instructions. So check those out if you're interested. And in addition, I guess Brett has a link there for some other useful resources. Yeah, and so this just kind of sums things up. I think the most important part I would make is just to think about why you're doing this and what you hope to achieve before you jump in and you devote a lot of time and effort to something and then find out that maybe it's not what you needed. You can really make this work for yourself, and it can do some great things for the chapter. You just need a plan for that. So
I'd like to talk about what Google provides for free online that you can use to help communicate and collaborate in a CCL chapter. And I'm a chapter leader of the New Hampshire South Central Group. We set up a Google user as when we started our chapter, and we just started adding things, adding the use of different services that Google offered to fill in the gaps for things that we wanted to do. So that's what we'll be covering. Okay, so Google offers, they call them cloud services or just services. These are websites that provide a service. Everybody's using some of them. Search is one of their services, and Mail is another. But with a Mail account, you also get access as that user to a whole bunch of other services that you may not be familiar with. You can create websites. You can use Google Analytics to monitor the web traffic on those sites. You get Google Drive, which is an online file system in which you can create folders and store files. And you get a calendar and also Hangouts, which is a web video conferencing software. There's also Google Apps, which work well with Google Drive, Google Docs for creating word processing applications, Sheets, spreadsheets, Slides or presentations, and Google Forms for taking polls and that kind of thing. And I'll touch briefly on other tools. Chromecast is a hardware device that you may find useful if you do presentations and you are at a place that has Wi-Fi and a projector that takes an HDMI input. This is a little device that if you've got your presentations on your Google Drive location, you can access them through your phone, cast them to this Chromecast device and have them displayed on the projector. And the Bitly is just an easy, it's a not a Google service, but it's a way to make very short, easy to remember links. So we use that sometimes too. Okay, Google Sites is another of the services. So if you go to sites.google.com, Google's talking to me because I just said Google. You can go to sites.google.com, log in as your Gmail user, or in this case, as a chapter Gmail user, and create a web page. And they have a lot of different templates. I wasn't originally going to, I wasn't sure what I was going to use this for. So I picked a very basic template that doesn't have images, you know, default image buttons and that kind of thing. But you can make this look very nice if you pick the right template. This template just gives you a navigation bar on the left-hand side, and each of those links goes to another web page. And then the body of the page is in the center and the right. And this is the welcome page for our chapter. But on the left-hand side, you can see the fourth link down in the navigation bar says Projects. And that's only visible to people that we've given access to see. So if you have, if you want to collaborate, these Google's cloud services are a nice way to do things with other people online, working remotely. So this is our projects page. So if you clicked on that projects link on the left side navigation bar, if you had been granted access to it, you would see this. And this is our kind of main control page for managing all the different action teams and actions that we're doing within the group. You can see there's lobbying and media relations. And so if you click on any of those links, they go down to a lower page that can be used to keep track of, say, all of your communications with a particular paper and editor. We're doing some things in the New Hampshire state level. And so on the executive branch, we make a little note each time we make a contact or have a discussion over phone or in person, so that we have a running history of how things are going. And so anybody working on a particular in a group like that can collaborate and put what's going on in this page. And we have a Facebook page also, which is great, as was said earlier tonight, for kind of live and current things. But I look at a web page as being a more long-lived thing. And it's, you know, when you onboard a new member to your chapter, you like to give them some standard information, and you can put that in a web page and share that web page with anybody that comes on board. You don't have to come up with something new each time. So Google Analytics is another service you can enable for your website. And this is, you know, if you're a good marketer, this would be very valuable to you. This is, you can monitor hits to your website and actually hits to specific pages for, you know, to see demographically or geographically. Okay, and then Google Drive is very useful, just like Dropbox, and there's a couple other places where you have a free online file system where you can store things. We've created several top-level folders. The public folder has beneath it presentations folder, handouts folder, things that we share with the public. And so anybody on the internet can be given a link to any of the things in there and have access to it. So we don't put everything there, but we have a members folder under which we have different folders for different action teams. For example, there's an events folder, and under each events folder can be a folder for a particular event where you've got different documents that you want to keep track of within the group, not share to the internet, but you want to be able to share it among members of your chapter. And then administration is just general chapter administration things, you know, standard text that we copy and paste into the welcome mail and that kind of thing. Okay, so let's put it all together using various cloud services to help enable showing a movie event and keeping track of the artifacts that you create for it. So the first thing is make a flyer, and you can use Google Slides to do that. Store that in a Google Drive folder where you're keeping your event information. You know, it's just useful to have it in a static place so that the next time you want to show another movie or even the same movie, you don't have to reinvent everything. You've got an organized place where these things can be found later. On the flyer, you can have a reference to a web page, which goes to, in this particular case, cclnhsouthcentral.org/climate-matters. That was a movie series that we put on a couple months, 2 months ago. And in there, we had more information about the movie. We could put, we also had it in Facebook, but you know, if there was a weather cancellation or something, we have a way to contact or to put information out there about what's going on. And then we advertised it in several places, and we could get a feel for the interest on it based on the web traffic. And then after the event, after the movie showing, we showed a couple slides from a Google slide presentation. And this particular place didn't have Wi-Fi, so we used a computer, but if they had Wi-Fi, we could have used the Chromecast device and with a phone controlling it to flip through the slides.
We're going to manage a couple of the key challenges today that are kind of inherent with social media use, and that is keeping content fresh, growing in size, and making it local and relevant. So without further ado, I'll pass it to you, Claire, and we'll learn from how Utah has been able to build up such a surge of followers.
Great. Well, thank you, Brett. So I think a great first step to get more followers is to start following other pages. So search for your city council members, your state representatives, and like their pages. Once you like their page, you'll start seeing their posts. And if you like, comment, or share their posts, their followers will see your engagement. and then they may discover your page. So it can be a great way to expand your community and attract new followers.
And that is essentially pro tips for getting your chapter's Facebook up and running.
Another thing you can do is to start posting to your own page. And if you're not sure where to start, these are some easy posts that you can create just once a week. So for week one, you can create a Facebook event for your monthly meeting. For week two, you can then share an event to your page. Week three, you'll have your meeting, so you can take a photo and then share that to your page. And then you can share a news article. So if you're interested in posting more than once a month, you might be wondering what types of posts or what types of things you should be posting. 70% of your posts should be value content, so that includes news articles, letters to the editor, or publications. 20% should be shared content. So basically, you share posts from other pages. And then 10% of your posts can be used to promote your local chapter. So you can post about an upcoming meeting, tabling an event, a tabling event, or a local event coming up. So this slide shows some climate news source pages that you should also like on Facebook. When you're looking for shared content to post, you can visit these pages as well as any of the other local pages that you are able to find. You have to be careful about responding as your page or as your profile. If you're on a laptop or a computer, you can switch between yourself and your page with the drop-down menu located in the bottom right of posts. So right about here. And then you can switch between your page or yourself. To post and comment as your page, use the Facebook Pages app. To post and comment as yourself, use the regular Facebook app.
Just make sure that you reply to people, like post messages as quickly as you can so that you can earn recognition.
Okay, and now I will share my page so I can walk you through how to do a few of these things through Facebook. Okay, so I'm gonna have two tabs open while I go through this walkthrough. This first one is my own CCL page. And then the second tab is the national CCL page. So first I wanna show you how to make sure you know how to like your page. So the like button is right here. It's right below the cover photo. This is how you like a page as yourself. If you want to like a page as your page, I'll show you how to do that on the national CCL page. You go to the overflow menu button and then go towards the bottom of the list, and that will say like as your page. So since I've already liked this page, it just gives me the option to unlike it. Okay, now I'm gonna show you some examples of value content that the National CCL page has posted. So this is an example of a value content post because it was posted from The Verge. So if you want to post value content posts, you can actually click on the post. It'll open the article. You can actually go ahead and copy this link. And then you go to your own Facebook page where you can post the link in this posting box. And then add your own commentary, and then you can actually publish it right now, or you can schedule to post it in the future. So you can choose the day and then the time that you want it scheduled. So that's one way you can get your content, is just by visiting links that other pages have have posted. Okay, so to post a shared content post. We can go back to the same post on the CCL national page. But now we will push the share button, share to a page, and then you can add your own commentary and then you can post it. The problem is this doesn't allow you to post in the future or schedule the post. So you can do that by going up to the top of the post, right-clicking this time when it was posted, clicking copy link address, and then going back to your own Facebook page, and then pasting, and then you can publish it, and then you can schedule to publish it in the future. So the idea is that if you want to schedule a post, you'll need a link of some kind posted directly from your page. Okay, so an example of a promotional post I'll show you is, I'll show you how to create and share an event. So if you're on your own page, you go to, you can click this icon, create an event. You'll fill out all of the information. And then you can publish it now, or again, schedule to post it sometime in the future. And then when it gets closer to your event time, then you'll want to share the event. So you can do that by locating the event on your page. So here's some upcoming events. You can click see all to see more, or you can go to the events tab on the side. So let's say you want to share this event. So you can go ahead and push, click share here, share as a post. And then you can post it right now. However, again, the same problem arises. It doesn't give you the option to publish in the future. So just copy the link, go back to your Facebook page, and then post it in the posting box, and then you can schedule it to be posted whenever you want. The last thing I want, there's one more thing I want to show you about events. So let's say another page has added an event that you're interested in. You can actually add their event and it'll show up on your own event list. So this way, you don't have to create an entire new event for your page. So let's go to an event on the CCL national page. So these are their events. And let's say I'm interested in this event right here. I open it up. I go to the overflow menu options and then go down to add to page. And I've actually already added this to our page. So let me show you what that would look like. So I've just gone to this events button on the side, and yep, sure enough, it shows up right here, along with these other events that we have created ourselves. So I created this one, or this was created on my page. And yeah, so good luck, and hopefully doing a few of these things will help you gain some followers.
But I'm also going to close formally, since we're right at the top of the hour, and I know that folks probably also might need to drop off. So stay around as long as you'd like, especially for your questions to be answered. But to close tonight's webinar, here is the contact information for all four of our speakers. If you have specific questions on what you'd like to kind of follow up from any of their sections, they've all generously agreed to be available here and contacted should you have anything that you'd like to individually follow up. You're also more than welcome at any point to always reach out to me. That's just Brett@citizensclimate.org. And we are so grateful for all of you making time.